have you grown spiritually today? Yeah. Now sometimes we underestimate the growth that can take place in the long term, and we overestimate what can happen in the short term. And really, it's about doing the right things over a long period of time. Because hopefully I am a different person than I was when I gave my heart to the Lord. Hopefully my life looks different, feels different. I react differently. You know, if I, let's just use this example. If you used to have an anger problem, I heard some giggles. If you still have an anger problem, and you haven't, you gave your heart to Christ and you haven't grown in that area, something's going on. There's an area there maybe that needs some special attention, because I shouldn't react the same way. Think about it like this. When your two-year-old throws a temper tantrum, you go, well, it's the terrible twos, and so let me do what I do as a parent to try to stop this. But if you're 22 or 42 or 62 and you're still throwing that same tantrum, people around you go, whew, they need to grow up. That's the first thing they say, right? They need to grow up. Because we expect more out of somebody who is chronologically older. So somebody's an older age, we expect more out of them than we do when they're little. I remember one time Luke, our youngest son, he wanted to make breakfast for us, and we let him, right? So he goes in the kitchen. He was about 5 years old, and he has carrots out of the refrigerator that are still hard as a rock, and just several things that don't go together on this plate. And you know what we did? Oh, that's awesome. You did great. Now listen, at my age, if I roll out with that same plate of food and I just made something for you, people go, what in the world? He just took stuff out of the refrigerator and put it on a plate. He hasn't changed. So when you and I are looking at our spiritual growth, there are areas of our spiritual growth that God wants us. Well, let me back up. There are areas of our spiritual life that sometimes we refuse to grow in, but God wants us to grow in those areas. He wants us to get better. Now I really want us to just look tonight at our overall spiritual health and growth. So if you're doing the same things today that you were 20 years ago, you're probably not growing, all right? The same thing happens in our spiritual life. And here's some signs that I might not be growing spiritually. Just some little things that I can look for. Here's one. If I'm walking in the same habits with no changes, I'm probably not growing spiritually. How about this one? I'm not accepting responsibility. Then I'm probably not growing spiritually. If I'm always leaning on others for spiritual matters, doesn't mean you can't lean on other people, but if my only hope is to lean on somebody else spiritually, we've got to answer the question, am I growing? If I have distanced myself from God's word, if I don't have time for God's word, we got to ask the question, am I growing spiritually? Here's another one. If I've stopped asking the question, what does God think? What does God think about this? I see people quite often that are struggling with this. They say a lot about what I think. You know, they're talking about themselves. I think this. And the real question is, what does God think about this? Which means we have a reverence and a fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom. If I really want to grow, now you might not have done this, but when I was little, my parents would, they still believed in spankings, all right? All right? And it didn't take me very long to figure out. I connected bad behavior with spankings real quick, and I tried to avoid all the bad behavior, right? So the fear of the Lord, a deep, deep reverence for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I start changing when I have a reverence for what God thinks. Here's another one. When I start pulling away from believers, from friends, from church, and church attendance is not quite as important as it used to be. Christian friends are not as important as they once were. I need to be careful that I'm not falling away from the Lord. That's not just about spiritual growth. It could be about just falling away. So you could come up with your own list of questions that would answer, that would help you answer, am I growing spiritually? Am I moving forward in my relationship with the Lord? Because I think I see it quite often where somebody will give their heart to Christ and we know they're going to heaven because they did exactly what the Bible said to surrender their life to Christ, but they really haven't learned to walk with Christ. They really haven't allowed God to start working, because here's what he said he does. He changes us into a new person, brand new. Not just a little better, but a brand new person. And so, but we got to cooperate with him, which we're going to get into that in just a minute. I've used this analogy so many times, I hesitate to use it tonight, but it's the best one I know, and so I'm going to use it. If I had a big wooden barrel up here tonight, and you know, with the slats in it, with the metal rings that hold it together, and I cut one of those slats out of the barrel, and then I filled it with water, is the water going to run out of the top of the barrel? The water's going to run out the lowest slat on the barrel. And so it might be that there's an area of your life that has become the lowest slat in the barrel, where you that's where all your spiritual growth is leaking out, all right? You didn't know your spiritual growth could leak, did you? Well, it can. All right. It's that place you can't get filled up because that's where it's running out. So when you're pouring in and pouring in and you can't out overcome it. You can't beat that. And so there are always areas of our life that we need to improve on, that we need to work on. Maybe it's an anger problem. Maybe it's a time-wasting problem. Maybe it's an unforgiveness issue. Maybe it is just being more intentional about opening our Bibles and reading our Bibles. There's always areas. And so if we can think about our spiritual life as that wooden barrel and say, let me just raise the level of all of those. And if there's one of those, it could be a sin that just continually is there and we refuse to deal with it, and we just continually allow it to sort of dominate our lives, and we come to church on Sundays, we pour in, we read our Bibles, we pour in, we spend time with God, we pour in, we spend time with other believers, we pour in, and that's the area where it all seems to run out. And so if we can pinpoint that area, then we can know, okay, that's something I need to pay attention to. The Bible calls it the wiles of the devil, the lures of the devil. It's those areas, we talked about this a few weeks ago on Sunday, where we all have those areas of our life that we struggle with more than other areas of our life. It might be lust or pornography, and that's an area that is on your mind and you're dealing with all the time. It might be that you're just bitter and angry, and that's the thing that Satan uses. He constantly brings up those old feelings we have towards somebody from our past. So he's going to use something in our life to cut the slat down, make it lower. That's where he attacks us. That's the area of attack. And if we know what that area is, then we can focus on it and we can fix it. And sometimes it means that we have to confess, and we got to get somebody else involved in it. We got to get some help. We got to get somebody else that is stronger than us to help us rework that area of our life. The Bible says it like this: confess your sins or confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. We talk about this all the time around here. We can go through a lifetime of cycling through that same area of our life, that same sin. We just cycle through. And most of the time we say, okay, now, this time I got it beat. This time it'll never be a problem again. But until we get somebody that is stronger than us involved and we can confess that sin, get it out of the dark, then it's going to cycle back around and we're going to have to deal with it again. And so I'm picking on a few of these things, but if it comes to unforgiveness, if we don't deal with that It cycles through our life over and over and over and over until one day we have wasted years of being angry and bitter at somebody who did us wrong at some point in our life. And that, no doubt, there are people in this room right now that were absolutely done wrong at some point in your life. May have been by your own parents. But forgiveness, this is not in the notes. This won't cost you anything, all right? Forgiveness is the thing that cuts you off from the past. Because as long as we're bitter and angry, forgiveness is saying, I give up my right to be angry about this. It doesn't mean I wasn't wronged in the past. You may have very well been wronged in the past. And you may never get that relationship back with that person who did you wrong. Chances are it's never going to be the same again with that person. But as long as we are holding on to that bitterness and making it the low slat in the barrel, what we've done in essence is took that person on our back and loaded them up, and we've decided to carry them through life. Because every time I'm going to think about them and I'm going to focus on them and I'm going to rehash the hurt and I'm going to let that become a festering wound in my life because I refuse to lay them down and leave it alone. You see, forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for me and you. It's when we say, I forgive you, we're not saying, I absolve you of the wrong you did to me. No, no, no. That is not what that means at all. Forgiveness just means I'm tired of carrying you. I'm tired. I've been too angry for too long. Somebody said something to me the other day about something that had happened, and they wanted me to be angry about it. And I was like, I just can't be angry all the time. I just refuse to be angry at somebody all the time. I'm just not doing it. I'm not carrying that person. Somebody that I love and respect who has gone on to be with the Lord now said to me one time, why would you let them live rent-free in your head? I was like, well, doggone it. That's exactly right. I need to let go of this. I need to let go of this. So that may be the low slat in your barrel, all right? It may be as simple as, you know, your Bible's just collecting dust, and you can't seem to get any traction in your spiritual life because you're not in God's Word. Here's what God's Word is going to do, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute. It's going to challenge you. That's what a good friend will do, too. A good friend will not let you carry on with bad behavior without saying, hey, whoa, we're not doing that. A good friend's going to say, you got to grow up, all right? And so that's exactly what the Word is going to do in our lives. Some of us are continuing in the same cycles again and refusing to grow, and God wants us to grow. He wants to bless us. There are people in my life, even today, and I've been a believer a long time, all right, a long time. There are people in my life today that I look up to in Christ. I look up to their relationship with God. I look up to them and their ability to hear from God. I look up to their ability to just know God's will in the moment, but that's because they've walked with God. They've been through ups and downs. They've gone through hard times, and they let the Word speak to them, and they're rooted and grounded. They have allowed the Lord to just be a part of every aspect of their life. Those are the people I look up to. I look up to those people who the psalmist said he's like a tree planted by the water. He's just solid. He's just sturdy. I love people that are just sturdy. I love people that are just, you know, if when you see them, they're going to be the same today they were yesterday. They're just going to be stronger. They're just going to be growing, but they're just sturdy. And that does not happen without some growth. You know, you can plant every year I have a dream of planting acorns and growing giant oak trees one day. And this started a few years ago, and so I planted them, and you know, 6 months in, I forgot to water them. And they were about as big around as a toothpick and had great big oak leaves on them, and I forgot to water them, and they were gone. So this year, we did the same thing. I actually picked up a bunch of acorns. If you notice, some of the trees around here will produce a bazillion pounds of acorns every year. So I picked up a bunch of acorns, and they're all in pots out beside a tree at our house right now. And so I'm hoping we don't forget to water them this year, all right? And I will never get to see that tree reach its full potential. It's going to live way past me as long as I water it for the first couple of years. It's going to live so far past me. It's so weak now. It's so weak. It needs some help. But one day it won't need anybody's help. It will just invite all of us under its shade, and we'll get to sit there and enjoy it. That's the people I admire. It's those oak tree people in my life that I don't have to take care of them, water. And then listen, we all need people in our life that we need to help them water and all that, and that's important. But the people that we all admire are the oak tree people. The ones that have just weathered the storm and grown through the storms. Because, listen, your life is going to be full of storms. If anybody hadn't told you yet, life is hard. Whew. I mean, it's hard. Problems are coming from every angle at all of us all the time. You know, there was a time in my life where I thought one day I'm just going to, finally, we're going to get it all worked out and life is going to be simple and easy. I guess you have to die to get there. I don't know. It's not going to happen for us. We've got to weather the storm, and that's what happens with the big oak tree. He weathers the storm. She weathers the storm. And then we look up to him. So let's talk about for a few minutes. How do I grow spiritually? Now, I could stand up here and I could talk on and on about how I think you should grow spiritually. But I really want to know, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible tell us to do? What are the actions that we need to do so that we can grow spiritually? So we're going to go through a few of these tonight. The first one is, you got to choose to grow. You got to choose it, because it's not just going to happen automatically. Look at this scripture, Hebrews 5. It says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Can we pause right there? Can you imagine getting this letter? He said, there's a lot more I'd like to say, but you are spiritually dull and you don't listen. Now, it's a choice. Not listening is a choice. So remember, if you're going to grow, you got to choose to grow. Look at verse 12. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. He's painting a picture of choosing to grow. You know, a baby is going to grow. As long as you feed it, it's going to grow. But maturing is a different thing. We have to choose maturity. And so he's telling us it's important for us to take ownership of our spiritual growth. So don't raise your hand and don't answer this question. Have you taken ownership of your spiritual growth? Is that a part of your decision making? I'm taking ownership of my own spiritual growth. I'm not gonna blame somebody else for not growing. I'm not gonna whine about. I'm just gonna choose it. I'm gonna choose to grow spiritually. All right. So here's number two. Share your testimony. Look what it says in Revelation 12:11. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Here's the picture. He's saying, it's God, the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus, what Jesus did for all of us. He said, you're an overcomer. You're not defeated because of the blood of Jesus and your testimony. So let me ask you the question. When's the last time you shared your testimony with somebody? Not up here. When's the last time you shared one-on-one your testimony with somebody? Now listen, we're not saying we ought to just walk up to people in Walmart and say, I'd just like to share my testimony with you. You've seen those videos where one dog's chasing the other one, and the guy in the background saying, I'd just like to tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's not what we're talking about, all right? But here's what I promise you. If you pray about an opportunity to share the love of Christ with somebody, God's going to give you that opportunity. He's going to give you that opportunity. But now don't live like the devil and then tell everybody how good God is in your life, all right? They got to be matching together. But one of the things I think that keeps us from growing is that we are, I'm just going to call it, we're a little embarrassed to share what God has done in our lives sometimes. So what if we said, okay, I want to grow. I want to be an overcomer. I'm going to share my testimony with somebody. Most of us get afraid to share our testimony because we think we don't have all the answers. We talked about this a little bit last week. We're afraid we don't have all the answers. And I can promise you, you do not have all the answers. Somebody texted me 2 days ago and said, they asked me this deep theological question. And I responded, let me get back to you. Because I did not have, they wanted me to respond in a text, first of all. And I did not have the words in the moment. So I took some time and I put my answer together according to the scripture and sent it back to them. And then we started a back and forth texting about some answers that they were looking for in their life. I didn't have, listen, I've been preaching for, I don't know, 30 years. It's been a long, anyway, long time now. And I don't even have all the answers, all right? I don't have most of them probably. So nobody expects you to have every answer. What is a testimony? Again, we talked about this last week. I want to piggyback off of it. A testimony is sharing what you've seen. Let me just say what I've seen. Years ago, I drove up on a car accident. It was right here on Story Road. And Story Road in Green Oaks, if you know where that's at, right there. And so I was just there. I'd stopped. I knew the person that was in it. I stopped. And I'm just trying to, you know, just help, whatever. 3 or 4 months later, this lawyer calls me, and he said, I just want to get your account of what happened that morning. And I said to him, well, it was the front right bumper, I think, that got banged up, and he listened to me and asked a couple more questions, and I finally said, was I right about that? And he said, no, it was the rear left bumper. And I was on the wrong end of the car, on the wrong side of the car. My testimony, listen, because that was not important to me. But what is important to me is my relationship with the Lord. And I know what God's done for me. I know where I am because of God's grace. You know where you are and where you would be without God's grace. A while back, a young man said to me after church one morning, he's telling me, I just got out of prison, I'm this. He was just telling me, he was really trying to tell me how bad he was. Like, I'm a terrible person. And I stopped him and I was like, man, I visited my own mother in prison. You don't scare me. We're good. You are in the perfect church for your background. All right? Because that's going to be his testimony. Look where God brought me from. Same thing in my life. Look where I could have been. Look where God brought me from. That's my testimony. And if I want to grow spiritually, I got to share that testimony. And I'll tell you what happens when you share your testimony. You're going to want to live up to it. You want to live up to that testimony. You don't want to say, hey, this is what God did for me, and tomorrow show everybody that you're, you know, 3 steps behind what you told them that God had done for you. You want to live up to it. You want to trust God in that area. So share your testimony. Share your testimony. Share your testimony. You might have to do that right here in a small group at Grace Point. You might do that around the break room at work. It might you figure out where it fits and pray about it, and God will give you the right place to share what God has done for you. All right? Here's number 3. Get some spiritual exercise. 1 Timothy says this, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Can we stop right there? Don't waste time arguing over godless ideas. That sound like TikTok to you? Sounds like Facebook and every other social media. We're going to waste time arguing about godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, he said, don't do that. Don't do that. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Every time I read that scripture, I was like, well, I feel better about not working out today, all right? Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. It promises benefits in this life and in the life to come. So when you exercise physically, it's repetition, it's discipline, it's lifting, it's running, it's sweating, it's burning, all that stuff. We get it. We know exactly what that looks like. And every now and then, we all get on a kick. We're going, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm going to drop that 30, right? I'm just going to get it. I'm going to do it. And then some of us don't follow through. All right? We just get, it's that discipline part that gets us. Discipline is, I want to give you an easy definition of the word discipline. Discipline is giving up what I want today for what I really want tomorrow. So discipline is giving up what I want today for what I really want tomorrow. It means I'm going to have to deny myself of something. If I'm going to go into training, I'm going to have to say no to some stuff. You know, there's nothing I like better than a late night bowl of ice cream. I mean, that's the best. I mean like 11 o'clock. I mean bedtime, you know. Discipline says, sometimes I'm good about it. Sometimes I'm not as good. Discipline says, I want that, but I'm going to give that up because it's something I want more. I don't want to gain too much weight, or I want to be in better shape. So what kind of things are spiritual training? How about serving? Forgiving, loving people, studying God's word, seeking Christ. Just, I don't think the Bible is giving us one thing to do or two things to do or 10 things to do. It could be a number of things to do. And he's saying, look, you're going to have to discipline yourself to give up something that you want right now so that you can get what you really, really want later. Get some spiritual exercise. And here's something else we need to know about this. Self-discipline is a work of the Holy Spirit, is a fruit of the Spirit in our lives. This is amazing. Look up fruits of the Spirit later in Galatians. It's a fruit of it. It's the Holy Spirit producing self-discipline in us. Paul told Timothy, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. Power, love, self-discipline. Paul said, you shouldn't be afraid. You've been given power, the dynamic power, miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit. You've been given that. He said, don't be afraid. You've been given the power of God. All right? You've been given power. You've been given love. Love between brothers and sisters in Christ, healthy love for one another, that burden-bearing, encouraging, challenging love that brothers and sisters in Christ have for one another. He said, so you've been given the power of God, you've been given that love of friendships, and you've been given self-discipline. So he's saying there's three levels here. You don't have to be afraid. You can grow. You don't have to be afraid because of you got God, you got others, and you got yourself. Sometimes we lean a lot on God. We pray, God, oh, I need you to do this big stuff. We lean on others. We want them to hear all of our problems and pray for us and encourage us. But we let ourselves off the hook with this self-discipline thing. And instead of looking at the gift, He said, you don't have to be afraid because you got power, love, and self-discipline. It's a tandem. It's a trio. Not a tandem. It's a trio. And they work together. So you got God, you got others, and you got yourself. We have this tendency to do this weird thing sometimes that we will judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. It goes like this. Well, I meant to read my Bible today. I meant to. I should have. It's all right. And so we let that self-discipline slip away and we don't really focus on it. get some spiritual exercise. It's going to require some discipline, And discipline, just the definition of discipline means that I'm not going to get something I want. And we don't like that. We like to get everything we want when we want it, doggone it. Just bring it on. I want what I want. And God is saying that's not the way this works. This whole discipline thing is a part of your everyday life, my everyday. So what's the area of our life? Let me kind of expand this a little bit. Sometimes our spiritual lives are affected, not sometimes, all the time. Our spiritual lives are affected by every area of our life. It can be our physical body can affect our spiritual life. You know, listen, if I wake up in the middle of the night throwing up, I'm praying, God, heal me or kill me. Just don't leave me here. I don't care what you do. You know, it affects my spiritual life. It affects how deeply we want to move forward. Your marriage life, your finances, your work life, every part of our lives affect us. Look what it says. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. In this life and in the life to come. God wants to bless us here and use us here and later. All right. Here's the fourth one. And I think this is probably the most important one of all that we're talking about tonight. Build your faith through God's word. Build your faith through God's word. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes by hearing the good news. I'm just going to shorten it a little bit. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith, we get faith because we hear God's word. We have faith because we hear God's word. I find myself sometimes when I'm in those moments of, you know, we all have those fear moments where I don't know, I'm a little scared, I'm indecisive, whatever. And I remember, most of the time, I remember I haven't been in God's word as much as I should have. I haven't been as disciplined in that area of my life as I should have been, or I wouldn't be dealing with all this fear and worry. Now, there's other things that can cause fear in our life, and we don't have time to get into all that tonight. But one of the things that causes fear in our life is a lack of faith. We don't trust that God is truly in charge of our life. Now, if I ask the question, every one of us is going to raise our hand and say, yes, is God in charge? We'll all go, yeah, woohoo, he is. Is God looking out for me? Woohoo, yeah. Does God know the future? Yeah, he does. But am I living like that? Do I truly believe it? We can say it, but are we living it so that it shows up in our lives? Faith comes by hearing God's word, all right? So why is God's word important? Why is God's word important in all of this? Let's look at some scripture. Let's see. Do you have a Joshua slide, guys? Yeah, there we go. That was probably my fault, not theirs. Joshua 1:8, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it every day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Did you get it, the last sentence? Let's read the whole. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. He wants us to line ourselves up with God's word, right? He wants us to grow in God's word, and only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do, all right? So he wants to bless us, but he wants to bless us according to his word, all right? 2 Timothy 3:16, this is why the word of God is so important. All scripture is inspired by God. Let's stop right there. You remember when you were little and you were out in the front yard playing and it was dinner time and one of your brothers or sisters came out of the house and they said, it's dinner time. And you bowed up and said, I'll come when I'm ready. And then your brother or sister said to you, Mom said, and you're like, oh, okay, all right, I'm coming. All right, because it was about the authority. It was about the person that spoke the words. If it was a brother or sister or a friend, you're just like, whatever. I don't care. But when you realize it's the authority, it's Mom, All right, mom's in charge, then it matters. All scripture is inspired by God. When we realize that, when God, we're opening God's word, it's God speaking to us. He sent his instructions to us. It's not like cool stuff to believe. It's not like your little brother just came out and told you. It's the word of God. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So I want to know the difference in wrong and right. Open the book. Open the book. I don't, there's no other choice. In our world right now, I mean, we have debates about everything, don't we? Is that wrong? Is that right? Is this okay? Is this not okay? And we question morality all the time on social media. All scripture is inspired by God, is useful to teach us what is true, make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Now, look, that's why God's word is so important, because it teaches us right and wrong. It teaches us, it's really giving us a directional signs. I walked in somewhere the other day, and I was I'll tell you where it was. We were at the Fort Worth Rodeo, all right? Jody and I went to the rodeo, and I loved to go to the rodeo. And we're walking, it's the first time I'd ever been there. And I'm looking around, there's no signs. I'm just like, well, I guess if I was a cowboy, I'd know which way to go, but I don't know which way to go. And I leaned over and I was like, I need a sign with an arrow on it. I don't even know. And listen, if most of us, not most of us, some of us are walking through life wondering, where are the arrows? Right there they are. God's word, that's the arrows that point us in the direction we should go. It's simple. So then, remember, we just read that faith comes from hearing God's word. So why is faith important? Why is it important to have faith to grow spiritually? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. What are you praying for right now? What in your life are you praying for? I can tell you something this week. It's personal. I'm not going to share it right now, but one day I am, when the story's finished. 3 years ago, we started praying for something specific, and this week we saw something happen. It was just it was a miracle, and God just moved, I'm just sitting there thinking, man, God, I wish you'd have done this 3 years ago, but thank you. It's here. Faith is confidence in what you hope for. It's assurance about what you can't see yet. Faith is what keeps you going. Faith is gas in the gas tank that moves you down the road. If you don't have faith, what do? We sit down. We give up. We quit. We lose our relationship with the Lord because we don't believe anything good is going to happen. And we just sit down. Faith is the gas in the tank that moves us down the road. Look at Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We just shorten that up. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So let's connect the dots one more time. It's without faith, it's impossible to please God. Where does the faith come from? By hearing God's word. So I cannot please God without being in God's word. If I want to grow spiritually, I got to start. The starting place and the finish line is God's word. I can't get to that place where I can please God if I don't know his word. You know, again, you don't have to have every answer, but you got to be in the word. You got to be in the word. And here's number five, and we're going to close with this one. Let me see where we are. Yep. If you like that, you put them all, take them off. I hate wearing those things. All right, number five, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Look what happened in the book of Acts. If you have never read the book of Acts, go home, it'll be more exciting than anything on Netflix, I promise. I mean, these people, man, miracles, stonings, violence, earthquakes. I mean, it was just all happening. Just go home and read it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Let me stop there. So this scripture is referenced to when Jesus was, he died on the cross, he'd been buried, rose from the dead, and he is ascending back to heaven. And all these people are seeing Jesus ascend back to heaven. And he's telling them, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to come. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's going to be with you. He's going to give you power. And he's really saying, lean in. He said, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That takes us all the way back to the beginning where we started tonight. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's saying, I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. Later in 1 Corinthians, we're talking about 1 Corinthians every Sunday morning for a while. Just a couple of months away, we're going to get to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited about teaching this on Sunday morning, preaching this on Sunday morning. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, again, go home and read it, but Acts chapter 2, Jesus had told him, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And he said, you're going to receive power and you're going to be witnesses everywhere. What happens to a witness? He's an overcomer. He's got power. And so they go to Jerusalem and they go to the upper room and they wait. 120 of them wait on the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, and as they were waiting, they were really, it sounds like they were in a time of worship and prayer. And they were intensely waiting there on the next move. Like Jesus is gone now and he said the Holy Spirit is coming. And they were just waiting, waiting, waiting. Jesus said, wait. And the Bible said it was a sound like a mighty rushing wind that came through the building. And the Bible says that it looked like fire was on all of them. The Bible says they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they came out of the upper room. Ooh, this is powerful. They came out of the upper room and into the streets of Jerusalem, and Simon Peter, who had been a knucklehead before this, Jesus told Simon, hey, this is what's going to happen. And he was like, you know, I'm going to die in 3 days. And Simon Peter said, no, we're not allowing that. And Jesus had said to him, get behind me, Satan. It's the same Simon Peter. It's the guy that had already denied Jesus three times the night before the crucifixion. And he had now repented and he had been imbued with power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And they come down into the streets of Jerusalem. And Peter preaches the very first sermon after the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people came to faith in Christ that day. Miracle after miracle was taking place. What if you and I walked in that power today? You see, sometimes we think that we come to church and that's where God's power operates. That's where we're set free. That's where things change. In this passage in Acts chapter 2, it was in the street when he shared the gospel that people were being saved in the street. I would say it like this. They were saved in the marketplace. What's the marketplace? Wherever you go to work. That's what the marketplace is. It wasn't just that church. It was out there. What if we walked in the power of the Holy Spirit? What if we took our spiritual growth so seriously that we said, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to fast like he tells me to. I'm going to go all in. Here's what he said. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things will be added to you. He said he'll take care of all those things, but put him first. Put him first. Put him first. be filled with the Spirit. If you've never had an experience with God of being filled with the Spirit, I challenge you, find some time in prayer and just say, Lord, I want all of you. I'm giving up all of me because I want all of you. I want you to work. I want you to move. I want you to change things. I want you to use me for your glory. I want you to have your way with me. And let's see what God will do. To say, I want more, Lord. Where I'm at is not enough. I might not be where I used to be. I might be moving in the right direction, but I want to continue moving in the right direction. God, I want you to work. I want you to show up. I want you to move in my life like never before. And let's just see what God does. See how God works. I want you to stand with me if you would. We're going to pray this simple little prayer. You pray it in your own words, but it's going to go like this. Lord, I'm giving up all of me because I want all of you. It's that simple. Lord, we thank you right now for all your blessings. God, you've been so good to us, and we thank you, Father, for what you've done and what you're doing. Lord, today we want your word to just move in our lives. We want to be moved by your word, God. Lord, we want to give up everything that we are to make room for who you are and what you want to do in our lives. We want to grow, Lord. We want to be used for your glory. We want to make a difference in the lives of people around us, God. We want to share the message of Christ everywhere we go and in everything that we do. And we thank you, God, that it's not about us, but it's about you, Lord. It's not about our strength, it's about your strength. It's about your power. It's about what you can do, not what we can do. And God, we ask for your help. And we thank you. And we give you praise for what's coming, Lord. We give you praise in advance for what's coming. And we receive it. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. And everybody said, amen. Let's give them some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Let me ask you one more thing. As you're choosing to grow spiritually and you're moving in the direction that God wants you to move, make some very purposeful time in your life to say, I'm going to really focus in on what God wants to do. Now, it's more than riding down the road and listening to worship music or listening to your Bible. I mean, it's focus time, like get in the closet and close the door kind of time. Lord, just get all the gunk out of me and change me and use me for your glory. Make a difference in the people around me, even when I can't see it, even when I'm not doing anything, Lord. I just want you to use my life, and I want you to be glorified in everything I do, even when I'm not thinking about those things. I want you to have your way. Here's what he said, and I'm gonna let you go. I must become less so that he can become more. I have to become less and less and less and less, so he can be more and more and more and more. What is he trying to do? What is he trying to do? Become less so he can become more. Bless us as we go, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here tonight.